right out of here. Thank the Lord. Well, take your Bibles this evening. Turn with me to the book of Genesis. We've been pretty close to the front of the Bible this morning. We were there, and now in the front of the Bible, we're back even closer to the front in Genesis chapter number 4. I'm glad I believe it all. Amen. I believe every word of it, believe everything that's in it, and nobody going to say anything to make me change my mind about that. And a lot of people say, well, we've got more educated. No, you got more dumbed down is what you got. And God's Word, He's got the answers for us. And sad story here. I guess this really goes along with a little bit about what this morning we talked about. How quickly get away. And we're going to read verse 1 through 13, Genesis chapter 4. I'll read verse 1, join me on verse number 2, and so on down through verse number 13. The Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof, and unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where's Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now notice what Cain said. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Listen to that. My punishment is greater than I can bear. You know what Cain was going through? Consequences. Consequences. Consequences are real. And that's the time of my message, simply consequences. Let's ask God to help us now. Father, thank you again for the word of God this evening. Thank you that we can go to the Bible for the direction and the guidance that we need, the food that we need that will help us to be spiritually healthy. God, I pray that you'll do something in our hearts and lives. Lord, may we always come to church realizing the message is for us. Yeah, it's for the other people too, but it's for every one of us. No one walked in here that can say it's not for me. Everything's for each and every one of us. Lord, I pray we take it seriously because there's such a thing as consequences. May we learn now. Lord, if there be somebody here not saved, pray you save them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's amazing today when you stop and think about it, who's out walking the streets of America. And I guess we could probably say it all over the world, but we're really concerned about America, about people that walk in the streets of America that ought to be in jail. You know, we've got a bunch of dumb DAs. And I mean, they just, you know, this... crazy stuff that we've gone through, the woke thing that we've gone through, and you know, defunding the police, and you know, I understand there's some folks that are not good, some people are bad, and you can find that in all walks of life. Not every grocery man is a good man. There's probably some crooked grocery people. There's some crooked police officers. There's good police officers. Crooked doctors. I don't know if there's good ones, but there's crooked doctors and there's good doctors, and we can go on, crooked preachers and good preachers and shopkeepers, and we just go on every walk of life. There are some folks that are not what they ought to be, but there's a lot of people today that really ought to be in jail. Of course, when we think about the big cities in New York City and Chicago, they said one of the I think I mentioned on maybe Wednesday night, it's more, you'd be more safe as a police officer than you would be a citizen in Chicago. I mean, and police officers are in a lot of danger. And I think one of the reasons why is because I know the title of my message is consequences, but one of the reasons there's so much trouble is because there are not consequences for those who do bad things. We can go to New York City and the DA there, and like I said, Chicago and California, and just about everywhere, we find there's no consequences. We find the same thing with the border. I'm all for people coming to America. You know, there was people from Germany that came to America called the Biters. I'm glad they came. You're not, but I am. And some of you are like going, oh, yeah, great. Why did they lock the door then? You know, where was Trump then? But there was people who came from Germany called the Biters, and I'm glad that they wanted to come. They came legally, probably most of them, and came here. And many of us, most of us, I'd have to say, you know, probably all of us, you know, had our ancestors come one day to America because of a great dream, but they did it legally. Now, I'm not against people coming to America. I think if I lived somewhere else, I would want to move to America. I mean, because I there's no place like this place. But it's getting really bad, but still a lot better than what a lot of people are living in. But the thing is, there's still a legal thing to do to be able to come to America. And what we're seeing now is people, all kinds of folks coming to America that should not be here. And the thing is, I'm sure there's some good people that come to America, but they're doing it illegally. There's such a thing as the law. You know, our hearts bleed, but we need to follow the law, and understand. But we have a government today that says, hey, you can break the law by coming into our country illegally, and then we'll reward you. And I don't know, it just bothers me that they want to take care of folks who do illegally more than they want to take care of people who do things legally. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that have tried to come to work on farms in America to legally, but I've heard the stories of the red tape they have to go through, and yet there's people and drug dealers who can come across, and all kinds of people can come across illegally, because there's no consequences. But here's the thing, you say, well, then why are you talking about consequences? The consequences are for the Americans. We are paying the consequences of there being no consequences. And I read about a story, a lady, I believe, in Connecticut, and she finds clothing where people have changed clothes that have come across most likely the northern border. They've come through their yard. Can you imagine? You come outside in the morning and there's backpacks and clothing out there. Somebody you don't know came through your yard. You don't know who they are or what they're up to. And our government, they catch them, they release them, and you know they never see them again. And I think of the consequences. And so we see the consequences of being easy on crime, where people are getting beat almost to death and some to death and being set free. And we pay the consequences from it. But there are consequences for doing what is wrong. And I'll tell you what, you know, there's a payday someday. We as God's people need to understand, you know, the Bible tells us we got to be careful because be sure your sin will find you out. Consequences. You think, well, I can get away with things. Well, we might for a while, but there'll be a consequence that will have to be paid in your life. And I like to save us, and, you know, oftentimes I think of the kids, and you know, I sure love these kids, and I appreciate them so much, and my desire is that they not have to suffer consequences, and they won't have to if they'll do what God says. There's no consequences for doing what God says. There's only blessings from that. But I think about Christians, though, are not immune to the same truth. There are consequences, and one of the reasons why we fall into so many consequences is because we don't take responsibility. We all have a responsibility to do what's right. I can't blame my mom and dad. I've got to blame myself when I do wrong. You say, well, you know, I wasn't raised right. Hey, you had a Bible. It was a church you could go to. And when you got older and you grew up, you could go to any church you want to, and you could read your Bible, and you could even read any Bible you want to. You know where I stand on that, by the King James Bible. But we have to claim responsibility. We just don't want to today. We want to say, well, it's just not me. I do something wrong, you say, that's just not me. No, you know what? It is you. No one else made you do it. Every one of us, young folks, you can't say to mom and dad, well, it's not my fault, it's my brother and sister. It's your fault if you do something wrong. It's your fault. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm sure I didn't have any sisters. I had brothers. They were knuckleheads. And sometimes I'd blame them. I said, well, Mom, my mom said, you didn't have to do what they said. You didn't have to fall for what they were trying to do. You should have come and told me. But sometimes we just don't learn. And then what happens? We say, well, you know, it's not really me. No, it is. That's just, you know, we sometimes say, well, you know, it's just not like me to do that. What we're trying to say is, you know, that was just a one-time thing. Do you understand that the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18, for I know that in me, the Apostle Paul understood this, for in me, that is my flesh. Who in this room does not live in their flesh? We all do, don't we? For in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Noah, nothing good is in you. Right, Dad, Mom? They're going, oh, no, he's wonderful. But really, because, I mean, he's a great kid. Love him very much. Got to hear his turkey story in my office there before the service. I'm really hyped up about it. I'm going to bring him as a good luck charm for me on Saturday. But the fact of the matter is, that boy can do some of the worst things in the world. You know why? He lives in flesh. There's somebody else going, I'm glad he picked on Noah. You ready, Ryan? You got two up here, too, all right? And he got a sister, too. But I'll go right down the line. There's nothing good in your flesh. Definitely nothing good in your flesh, buddy, right? Anyone from Ohio. But what happens? There's nothing good in your flesh, even though having a wonderful grandmother. There's nothing good in your flesh, either. You got great mom and dad and grandma back there sitting, but you know what? You live in this flesh. You live in flesh like Noah lives in. You live in really bad flesh, right? Biter, yes. And you live in flesh too. The Bible's, that's, isn't that what God said? That in my flesh dwelleth no good. You say, well, my kids are little angels. You know, I mean, I believe they pretty much are. But the thing is, we all live in flesh. You say, you pick on the kids. Kids, you ready? Your mom and dad, same thing. Your sweet grandma, same thing. We live in that flesh. We live in that flesh. And he said, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me. I'm not saying we don't want to do what's right, but how to perform it, which is good, I find not. We trust this flesh so much. And yet the potential is in us for doing some of the most awful things in all the world. You ever notice sometimes some of these folks that do some hideous things, and people come to court and say, but I always knew them as a wonderful person. They were always so wonderful and they were so kind. Yeah, no doubt, they probably were. But they have flesh. You know, if we're not, you know, a good thing is to watch out for the beware of dog sign. Right? A fellow one time I was out soul winning with years ago, we were still down in that building, and saw a sign said, beware of dog. I said, oh, you don't need to worry about that. It's probably not bad. He goes, no, I don't go there. I said, why not? He said, one day there was a dog, beware of dog. And he said, it was a boxer. He said, I always like boxers. He said, I thought he looked really friendly. He said, he wagged his tail. Now, how can you see a boxer wag its tail? Aren't they ones that just have little stubs? I mean, it just had to be one of these things going, do. It was that good eyes, amen. He walked over that boxer, and that boxer jumped up there and bit him right here in the face. You know what? You may think, well, you know, nothing's going to happen. You don't know what might happen. Be good to listen to the warnings of God. Be careful of this flesh. Sometimes as parents, we say, well, I trust my children. You're an idiot. Well, why can't I trust my child? They live in flesh. Think back when you were young. Think back the things went through your mind, maybe things that you did. And maybe you could say, well, I didn't do those things. But you know what? Just because you didn't doesn't mean the kids won't. We trust the flesh so much. We blame everyone and everything for what we do. Oftentimes we say, well, someone else made me do it. We blame the wrong crowd. You know, so, well, I'll tell you what, if they just weren't, what they weren't, they were in the wrong crowd. You know, sometimes we are the wrong crowd. Sometimes we blame the TV, and there's a lot to blame with the TV. We blame the internet, a lot to blame with the internet. We can blame the government. We can blame this and that and other people. But when it comes down to it, we need to understand it's nobody else's fault but our own choice. You know, I was thinking about Cain. What did he do? He killed his brother. He murdered his brother. I was working on this message, and then I happened to tune into Lester Roloff, and he was talking about Cain killing Abel, and said about, you know, you think about his mama. One of the first outfits she maybe sewed together was the burial outfit for her son. one of the first other jobs that his daddy had was becoming an undertaker. When Adam had to go out there and pick up that body, that lifeless body of his son, pick him up and get him ready to bury him. I'm sure he never thought about that. I'm sure they loved their sons very much. He was saying, can you imagine what happened to those people there because Cain killed his brother? Now understand this. Cain could not say, well, someone else made me do it. Could he? He couldn't say it was the wrong crowd. He couldn't say, well, I just watched too many video games. And I'll tell you, there's a danger in that too. He couldn't say, well, it's because of the TV that I watched. There were no TVs. It was not the internet where he saw some horrible things on it. Say, preacher, why did he do it? He lived in flesh. Now, oftentimes I wonder what the conversation was. You know, the Bible talks about them, how that they had talked together in verse number 8, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they're in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. I'm wondering, what did they talk about? I wonder, did they get an argument? I believe Cain was upset. He was mad at God. God, he knew very well. I believe Adam and Eve had told them very well what we're supposed to do. I'm sure Cain's thinking, well, but I don't see anything wrong with what I'm doing because I mean it. I mean it from my heart. His old dirty, rotten heart. If his heart was so wonderful, why was he so readily able to kill his brother? I've got mad at my brothers before. I've punched them in the nose before, and hello, yes, I have. But you know what? I never killed them. Must have been something really terrible that happened then, wasn't it? And so what happens, we find that all this led up to the murder, and then we find the consequences. Remember the story, Abel had brought the firstlings of the flock because I believe Adam and Eve had told him, you know, told the boys, said, sons, this is what happened one day. Daddy and I, we sinned. And you see these coats of skin we have. God made these coats for us and clothed us. And they had to kill something for it. Understand, you know, for them to have coats of skin, there had to be bloodshed. It's a picture from the very beginning all the way through. The blood is what pays for our sins. There had to be the sacrificial blood, the sacrifice of blood. I believe Adam and Eve understood that. I believe also Cain and Abel knew that too. And Abel did the right thing. Oh, I guess it was a little bit easier for him. He had the sheep. But don't you think if he'd asked his brother for one? Don't you think there was some available? I'm sure there was, but he had his own idea. He had his NIV. Well, I'm just going to see what this says. You don't need to see what this says. You just need to see what God said. You should have listened to mom and dad. And so what happens? He decided to do his own thing and bring that other sacrifice without blood. I know they understood. But he decided to do it his way because I think he thought it was more convenient. But God said, no, I don't accept it. God had no respect, verse number 4, and Abel he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering he had no respect. That was God. But what happens, Cain gets mad. He gets mad at his brother. I don't know what his brother said. I'll tell you what, the reason he was in such a bad mood was because he was angry with God, because he had not obeyed God. He had not obeyed God. I believe that he had an opportunity to do what was right. God said, verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? He gave him an opportunity to confess what was going on. And why is thy countenance fallen? Imagine, he's really bummed out, if you want to put it in our words today. He was bummed out. He said, if thou dwellest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. I think he was saying, hey, you know what, buddy? You can get right. You can get right. You can exchange that fruit of the ground. You can have the right sacrifice. You can do what's right. But he was stubborn. Stubborn because he wanted to do his own thing. Why was he so stubborn? Flesh. Flesh. He had the opportunity to do what was right, but he rebelled. And his rebellion caused him to disobey. And there was not going to be a change. So here's what happened. You ready? Cain chose to do wrong. Cain chose. Adam didn't choose that. His mama didn't choose that. Eve didn't choose that. Cain chose. Let me tell you something. You know what, young folks, what you'll end up doing someday? Things you choose to do. Things you choose. Teenagers in here, what you do someday will be what you choose. What you do someday will be, may I say this, men, women, what you do someday will be what you choose. Choices need to be made wisely. Why? There's consequences. There's consequences. So much that we find that Cain says here about his about the consequence in verse number 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Now, I think he was kind of looking a bit too far on that. I believe that God would not give him something he could not bear. But it was tough. And that's why we hear about this easy on crime today. Doesn't work. You say, well, it's fair to those people who do these things. How about the people who get their faces smashed and stabbed by a bottle of beer? Ask them. But he said, my punishment is greater than I can bear. God rejects it. Rejects what Cain decides to do, and Cain gets mad, kills his brother. And it seemed like it was more than he can handle. They were the consequences he was going to have to face. You're going to choose what you want to do. Are you listening? You will choose what you want to do, but you will not be able to choose your consequences. Well, maybe he just slapped my hand. I mean, I kind of look at this. I think Cain should have been happy he was still alive. But if only he had made the right choice. I think it's one of the problems I think our problem is this: we want to enjoy sin. Now, I have to say, you know, there are seasons of sin that are enjoyable. You say, how do you say it? Well, I'll give you a verse, and I think the other day, maybe Wednesday night, Hebrews 11:25 says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. There are pleasures of sin. I've heard people before tell me about how much they enjoy their beer. I think of a man right now, and I remember years ago he told me, he says, I just got to stop off and have a beer after work. It makes me, calms me down. I'd say this, you better find something else to calm you down. You don't need to be drinking liquor to calm down. Your choice is a bad choice. I said, well, it makes me calm down. How calm are you going to be when you're looking at somebody's blood pouring out of their body because you just hit them with your car? We see people having all kinds of fun, doing their evil. And then you see their mugshots, and they don't look like they're having so much fun. Go with me to James chapter number 1 real quick, if you would, please. And if you're not sure where it's at, I'll read it to you here in just a second. Titus, did I say the no, I said James, didn't I? I see Titus out of my corner of my eye, misbehaving. That's what was happening there. Oh, he wasn't misbehaving. He was sleeping so good. James chapter 1, look at verse number 15. The Bible says, then when lust hath conceived, you see what starts out is lust. That's that fleshly desire. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth what? Sin. And then, oh, we're all done now. No. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what? I tell you what, sin takes you a lot farther than what you're expecting to go. I didn't plan on dying. I didn't plan on killing my brother. But because he decided to do his own thing, think it would be all right, got upset with God, and his brother must have said something, and he was so mad to the point he just killed his brother. I can't imagine how he killed him, just left him lay there. Just went on his way. We have this idea, well, you know, because of Calvary, everything's taken care of. I understand that. Everything's settled. Let me tell you something. Because of Calvary, our sin is washed away, but there's still consequences. You can get saved, but you can marry the wrong person, you suffer consequences. You get saved, you go rob a bank, you're going to suffer. You'll be a saved man in jail. You suffer consequences. You say, well, I'm just going to live my, a lady says, a woman says, I'm going to live my life, I'll just be promiscuous, and all of a sudden she's involved in stuff, and she's got all kinds of problems on her hands, and she says, yeah, but I'm saved, consequences. And by the way, the answer is not abortion. I'm sick and tired of everybody talking about the abortion, thinking it's all right, trying to help things. I'll tell you what, it's amazing. You know, it's still murder. It's not going to cut any corners there. Hell's taken away that consequence, or heaven has taken away the prospect of hell for us that are saved, but there's still consequences. A couple things let me give you real quick. Understand that we all have a choice to make. Nobody makes us do wrong. I don't care what the neighbors may do, what spouse may say. You say, well, my wife. No, don't blame anyone else but yourself when you make wrong decisions. The blame game's over, folks. I have sinned, is what the Bible tells us to say. That we've sinned. God's given all of us the freedom to make a choice, and I'm glad that he has. I'm glad. You know, God didn't say, you have to love me. God gives me the choice to love him, and I made the right choice. I tell you, how can you love God too much? How can you make the wrong choice about serving the Lord? You can't do that. God's given us the freedom to make that choice. We need to realize that if we make the wrong choice, we must suffer the consequences. You know, think about it. In life, there's a lot of choices to make, isn't there? You know, the alarm goes off in the morning. You have a choice to make, don't you? Not me. I don't have any alarm because I get up way before alarms have to make me get up. And it's nice, you know, I can beat the alarm, and I always stick my tongue out at the alarm clock every morning. I'm like, you didn't have to beep for me. But then there's mornings, many mornings, I go, I wish I could have an alarm clock wake me up or I'd sleep. But you know what? You have a choice to make every morning, whether to get up or not. You have a choice in the morning where you're going to go, what you're going to do, if you're going to go to work. A lot of choices you make in life. You know, we all have to make those different choices in life. And the best thing is to make the right choice. When the light turns red, as you're getting closer and closer to it, you better make the right choice. Right? I have this theme. If the guy in front of me goes, I go. Anybody else have that theme in your life? Reggie? Amen, brother. Us 70-year-olds, we know, you know. And so if you see someone pulled over at the light, you'll know it's me and him. But I get in line, and you see these people. They won't go unless there's like 150 yards between them and the next car. And I'm like in there, I'm talking about it. So I'm like, I wish that old geezer would go. Did I say geezer out loud? But, who was it said? Dave, you said that geezer. This and during Brent Men's prayer time, you got me started. It's his fault. I get there, and I see that light, and all of a sudden it's yellow. And I'm like this, if he goes, I go. My wife says, hon, what if there's a policeman? No, if he goes, I go. And I do. Now, honestly, so far, you watch, I'm not going to do it this week because I know me saying it would cause me to get pulled over. But you know, if I do get pulled over, whose choice was it? It was mine. I have to make the choice whether to make that light or not. Amen? Y'all looking at me like I'm a crook. You know, you're gonna call 911. Preacher's truck is a red ram. Watch for him at the light. But there are consequences to every action. When you drive a car and you push the brake, it stops. You push the accelerator and it goes. And you know, there's consequences to it. And just because we don't like the consequences, doesn't make the punishment wrong. You know, I never like consequences about things. I ain't got too many. I only had 2 tickets since I lived in Pennsylvania, and probably should have had some more, but thank the Lord. But I was on my way to Florida one time, and I was not thrilled about going to Florida. Florida is just, they ought to cut the state off, let it float away. I'm telling you what, it's nothing but hot and bugs down there, amen. But we were going down to Florida. I wasn't too thrilled about it. And then on top of that, I was going to see my in-laws. but we were going down there to see everybody. And this woman, she comes flying by me, and I thought, you know what? I'm tired of going slow. I'm sticking with her. And I just got behind this woman, and man, she's a flying, and I'm flying. I'm like, hey, here we go. If the cops catch anybody, they're catching the woman, amen. And I tell you know what happened? And we come around this curve, and there's a cop, and I'm like, oh, slow down. And that cop pulls out, and I go, don't worry about it. My wife goes, but he's coming. I go, but he's going to get the woman. She was first. I guess it's ladies first to go, and men get the ticket. And he pulled me over, and he said, oh, by the way, your son's not, that was back when Mark was a little boy, wasn't it? He said, your son's not in the chair right too. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to jail. He got me for going so fast that it was a, what was it called? Reckless driving. I called my brother, he's a police officer. I said, hey, John, I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, if you lived in Munster or lived in Gary, he said, what we do, if you have reckless driving, we tow your car. I'm like, I'm in Virginia. My kid's not strapped in right. What am I going to do? And the guy gave me a ticket, and I paid the ticket. But you know what? I didn't like it. But I made a decision to follow that woman. I'll tell you right now, I ain't following no woman anywhere. Hey, man, it's a good thing I'm married, because I wouldn't follow you anywhere, woman. But, you know, decisions we make, the consequences are something we don't like sometimes, and they seem severe. And I'll be honest with you, I forget what the price on that ticket was. It was like, I don't think it was 200. I think it was about 150 something. I was blessed by that, even, my brother told me. And you know, I don't like the consequences, but, you know, consequences come because of our decisions. Punishment's the after effect of the action. And I think we don't take in consideration the severity of the consequences when we choose to do what's wrong. We think it'll be all right, and we think we won't get caught. But that's what happened to Cain. I don't know if Cain thought maybe no one would know, but God knew, didn't he? God even asked him, gave him an opportunity to confess to it. He asked him, verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why hast thy countenance fallen? Do you think God was wondering, what's wrong with him today? God knew what was wrong with him. God knows everything. But God was giving him an opportunity. And he said, hey, listen, there's an opportunity for you to get some things right. You know, God's a merciful God. But we choose. We just choose to do wrong. He killed his brother. Now he says the consequences are too much. Like I said already, I think he ought to have been happy he was still alive. It was a tough consequence. But I have to say this, was a bad thing that he did. It was a bad thing that he did. You know, sin is a bad thing. Amen. But here's the thing tonight. If you don't want to deal with consequences, then don't do what causes consequences. Amen. You don't want that speeding ticket? Go to the speed limit. But that's hard to even say, let alone do. You don't want that ticket for going through that red light? Just wait till the next green light comes up. You don't like the consequence of, and you can put in about anything. Just do what God says. It's as simple as that. All Cain had to do was what was right, and the opportunity was there. And you said, but preacher, sometimes the temptations come. They do. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, would you please? 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and thank God for the Bible, amen. It has all the answers for us, and it'll help us with this thing. Because we live in this old body of flesh, and we get tempted. You don't say, I never tempted to sin. That person there was just tempted to lie, so they're a liar, but we're all tempted. It's common. Don't be surprised about that when that happens. But look at verse number 13. Did I say 10? Chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is what? Common to man. But God is what? Faithful. Aren't you glad for that? Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. I just couldn't help it. No, he will not tempt you above you, Jerry. He will not allow you to be tempted above you able. But will with the temptation, how about this, also make a way to what? Escape, that you may be able to bear it. There's always an exit. He said, preacher, I was tempted to do. Well, no doubt about it. I'm not going to say you weren't. I'm just saying this. There was an exit. There was nobody standing in front of it. You chose not to take it. I believe with every sin, there's always the exit. Amen. With the temptation also maketh a way to escape. Which takes us right back to the first point. Just to choose to do right. Choose to do right. I heard the kids singing their one of their songs. Do right as the stars fall from heaven. Do right. Bob Jones used to say that. That was back. Bob Jones, Sr. was just right at his end days, I guess, when I was growing up. And, well, he had some really great sayings. I got a book about his biography of his life in my office there. But he said, do right if the stars fall from heaven, do right. You know, back in those days, there was a lot of people wanting them to compromise. And they were calling him, I believe, one of the things was some of, who's the famous guy, Billy Graham. And was beginning to compromise on things, and he said he wouldn't compromise. I thank the Lord. Now, what a lot of people did, he died off, and some of the rest of them compromised. I'm glad that they should have listened to what Pappy said. You know, don't give in. Just do right. Do right, and the stars fall from heaven. Do right. And I thought, wouldn't it be a different world if we would just do that? You know what helped America? You know what helped in New York City? It's not necessarily a new DA. Just if people start saying, I'm going to do what's right. You understand, we have a generation, several generations of young people have grown up in no church. They don't know anything that's right. They've been fed this thing, it's all about you. You do anything you want to, whatever makes you feel good. And we see exactly where it's brought us. People walk up to somebody. The anti-Semitic thing that is going on today is terrible. God have pity. In America, and I look at our colleges, you know, let me tell you something, they were a mess before this came up. They were a mess. You know why? Because they chose to be. They chose to be. I thought, wouldn't the world be a whole lot different? Wouldn't our homes be a whole lot different if we just chose to do what's right? Young folks, you ought to decide this. You know what? I'm going to do what's right no matter what. Brothers and sisters will bug you.
Do I hear a testimony?
Brothers and sisters will bug you sometimes. But you know what? Do right. You say, wow, that's real simple. No, you know, I keep them from fighting. That'll help them grow up and love each other than hating each other. Just do what's right. You know, do what's right, moms and dads, husbands and wives, church folks, Americans. We need to realize there are consequences. And so I guess when all of a sudden the consequences come because we didn't do what's right, don't start griping and groaning about it because it won't help. You're going to have to suffer the consequences. For the rest of his life, Cain suffered the consequences. All because he didn't do what was right. All because of a choice that he made. You can go to Blair County, Hollingsburg right now, and prison's full of people. Made bad choices. You get some of them guys in there, I preached in there before, you know, well, I was set up. They all were set up. They're there because of their choices. And I'm sure there's some maybe do get set up, but I mean, I guess I can't lump them all together. But I'll tell you what, 99.9% of them, they did something wrong. You can go back where Bill, where were you at, Bill, back in the prison there? What was the name of that? Yeah. Full of people, you know what, made bad decisions. They were in there because they made the wrong decisions. How empty that place would be tonight if men would just make the right decisions. You know what? I mean, they're worried about all the abortion clinics. There would not be a need for abortion clinics if everybody made the right decisions. You know, we wouldn't have to have bars on our homes if people would make right decisions. The thing is, I can't make other people make the right decision, but I can. I know I can. You say, well, you think you're something? No, because I know God said there's always an escape. There's always the exit. Take the exit. You'd be glad you did, amen? Because there are consequences. Oh, Cain, what do you think? More than I can bear. You should have thought about that, buddy. Let's make the right decisions. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this time tonight. Thank you for these dear people that are here. Lord, we count it always a blessing to come to church. We count it a blessing to open the Word of God and how wonderful it is to open this Bible and share with people. And I know there's folks in this room, Lord, I believe every one of them are like, yeah, preacher, we're with you on this. We understand that. But we've got to be reminded sometimes, make the right choice because there's consequences. Lord, we cannot take for granted we'll be okay because we all live in this old flesh. We may brag about it and puff it up, make it look good. We can put some pretty clothes on it and we can make it sound really well, but the Father is that we're capable of doing some awful wicked things. Oh, this flesh, there's nothing good. God, help us to follow you. I think of the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, God, if we decide to do that, I believe things will be a whole lot better. And I tell you, Lord, we know this. We won't have to suffer those consequences of sin. Thank you, Lord, that hell's been taken care of by me trusting you as our Savior. Thank you, Lord, you're able to save my soul. Lord, I live in a life of flesh, and I need thy help every day. May all of us every morning ask you to help us as we live this life in this flesh. It's a battle, but help us to choose wisely. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, maybe here tonight you're not sure of salvation. You can come and trust the Lord as your Savior. Maybe the Lord spoke to your heart about something here tonight. Maybe some decisions in your life. Young folks, make the decision, I'm going to do what's right. When everybody else is doing wrong, I'm still going to do what's right. I mean, I'm glad our kids are able to be in a Christian school, but I'll tell you what, if all the kids in the Christian school do wrong, you still do what's right. May we all decide to do it, to do what God says. We won't have to worry about those old consequences, because I tell you what, there are consequences when we do wrong, but there's rewards when we do right. Well, the rewards are sweet. Father, bless the invitation now. I pray that your will be done. We make the right decisions here tonight. Some things we'll decide on may save a life, may save a lot of heartache. Lord, as we make those decisions, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.